So the subject that I have on my mind today is the subject of hope. I want to start by going to Lamentations chapter 3 start in verse 21 of Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is written by the prophet Jeremiah, and it was written roughly around 586, 587 B.C., and it was written shortly after the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. And as we know, Jeremiah was a prophet that was left behind in Judah, and that's went through very difficult times. And Lamentations, the first couple of chapters of chapter 1 is really as he kind of surveys the damage through the city of Jerusalem from the destruction. And then the sadness in chapter 3, he's very sad about all of this, just as we would be if something of that happened to, you know, where we lived and to, you know, his people. And so, or the people that he was a member of. So chapter 3, the first part of this is Jeremiah expressing great sadness and sorrow as a result of this. And we come to verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So this is kind of a turning point in this chapter. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not, meaning Lord's compassion on his people. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. It is good, I'm sorry, verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, emphasis on wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him, even in these trying periods. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So, we know that, and patience is not my subject, but we know that the Lord expects us to be patient and wait upon him. And our hope is such an important component of our ability to wait until he does bring whatever kind of relief that we would want to see. Now, if we go over to Psalms 119, and Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. It's broken up into 22 sections. And we're going to go to, I believe it's the 15th section. And specifically, I want to go to Psalms 119, 114, and read three verses here. And of course, this is written by David. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Hope is based on the Lord's word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, which we are always surrounded by, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. So in the midst of trial and tribulations and others that may not have that hope, don't be ashamed of having that hope yourself in the midst of those trials. That is so very important about what get all of us through that. And I'll reference the song again, Till the Storm Passes Over or Passes By, that we sang was very appropriate to my subject today. So why did the whole subject of hope come to mind? I never know where these subjects come from. They just start coming about. This time I do have a sense of what started that. And I will simply say that there are two occasions in my life that were highly, highly stressful. All right. And the first one that I wanted to mention, and I'm not going to go into all the details because it's not about me, it's about hope. But it's what leads us, it's to illustrate why we need hope and what that hope really is. What is the definition of hope? The first event that I will describe very briefly without giving a lot of detail happened in September of 2008. And I was in a state of great distress for particular reasons. And I had driven outside of Austin and went to a small town called Del Rio and spent the night there just to get on the road and drive and try to feel better. And I had a horrible night, was up most of the night, lots of distress. The storm was passing over. Satan was right there with me, and I ended up calling my mother early the next morning. I mean, probably not long after the sun came up. And in order to just, because she was always so helpful in times of stress like this. And my dad ended up getting on the phone briefly. And my dad, as you would imagine he is apt to do, quotes a scripture, right? And, you know, a very appropriate scripture. And he went to Romans, which I want to turn to right now. Romans chapter 8, which is one of our favorite chapters in the Old Baptist Church. And he went to, I'll go to verse 25, but 26 is the one I want to focus on. But starting with 25, it says, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So we're hoping for something we don't see. All right. And we have to wait with patience. But verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. "Help us with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Brother Keith, that's one of your father's favorite lines when he said a prayer, and something I always think of him when I read this. But the Spirit itself, and this is the point that I really want to get to, "the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And so my father elaborated a little bit on that, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here other than to emphasize it's that Holy Spirit that the good Lord has given us as the comforter for when we were born again, that works within us and helps us understand our needs, our feelings in such a way that we're able to pray with confidence to the good Lord. And the Holy Spirit is there in us to do that. And it was so appropriate because I know that many of you have had moments where you wanted to say a prayer and you didn't know what in the world to pray. You were so caught up in the circumstance, a situation, or whatever it may be, and you didn't even know how to pray. You didn't even know what to pray or what words to say to get that out. And the Holy Spirit is there to help you with that in those times of stress. And I want to go on and mention verse 27. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And all of this the Holy Ghost is doing according to the will of God, which is so, so very important. So, you know, I got back in the car and drove back, and things worked out. And I will say that in the midst of that moment that I was experiencing, in reality, I look back on now, and some of the greatest, if not the greatest, blessings that I received in my life came from the situation over which I was so distraught. And so the good Lord answered my prayers, not because I deserved it, because Lord knows I didn't, but what a great experience that was, in the sense that I can look back on it and see it today and what the good Lord's done. The second time was this past Wednesday night. It was a completely different reason. And I'm not going to go into the details. It was something that was work-related, and I was so distraught, and I was up and down all night. I kept Cindy up, and she was hurting in the middle of it. Thank the Lord for a helpmate like I have, because she was right there with me, and we prayed together. But it was one of those situations where getting up, and I didn't even see how I could get up the next morning. I just felt paralyzed. And we prayed, and when time came that I needed to get up, and I kept delaying it, suddenly I had the energy and everything I needed to go forward. And it turned out that things were not nearly as bad as I anticipated, and that was the devil playing with me. I wish he would go away. He's been rather busy in my world for a while, and we just have to keep praying to get him behind us. But this hope is so very important, because this is the way, one of the many ways that we deal with it. And where does that hope come from? If we go to John, so we're going to go to 14:26, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, okay? He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So, this goes right to the Holy Ghost and the Spirit that I spoke about in chapter 8. And that Holy Ghost, that Comforter that is put into each of us, is what gives us the ability to remember the things that have been taught, the things that we have heard, the Scripture, the Word, and He is ever present with us, and we need Him so greatly. And if you go to Romans very quickly, we'll go and pick up one verse over in Romans along the same line, chapter 15, verse 13. And 15:13 says, "And the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause will I confess to see thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." I'm sorry, I'm not reading the right verse. Verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also admonish one another. But going back to 13, God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's the hope that gives you that joy and peace. It's the right kind of hope. And there's different kinds of hope. I would submit to you, there are two kinds of hope. There's a natural hope and there's a spiritual hope. The natural hope can be represented, scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, which I want to flip over to if I can actually read the right one. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, or saith he it altogether for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be a partaker of his hope. That's a natural hope, is what that's describing. Plow in hope. If we were a farmer and we're going to go out and plow the fields, we're doing that in hope of yielding a crop. If we are in our secular jobs, whatever it is we do that in hope that we're going to get the job done. And as a result, the company or ourselves will be able to maintain and continue to receive financial support for those kinds of efforts. That's a natural hope, and it's a good thing to have. But that is not the greater hope. The greater hope is the spiritual hope. In verse 11 of chapter 9, it says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And the way I read that and the way I see that is that the spiritual hope can reach down into the carnal things that we do that are righteous and right and good things, like plowing fields and being endeavor to work and to earn a living and whatever. But those spiritual things can reach down into those carnal things and give us a much deeper hope. All right. So, we get the same kind of message if we go to Romans 15, which I'm not going to do for time, but 15:27 really covers the same thing, okay? It's about, you have the hope that comes from the natural, which is a good thing, but when the natural hope fails, because we're human beings and we're flawed, totally depraved, Satan impacts us, and he can drive that hope away. And that's what happened to me in those two occasions. My hope was being driven away, partially by the thoughts in my head, casting down imaginations. I talked about that not long ago, from the evil one. Okay? And sometimes those concerns may be real in the natural world, but it's the spiritual that gives you hope. So in the middle of my crisis in both occasions, and I would say more strongly this past Wednesday night, not one time did I doubt my eternal salvation. That was the hope that I had, that I knew I could hold on to no matter what happens, whether it was good or bad, or whether there's blessings that come out of it or not. That is a spiritual hope. And there's only one place that you get that. And that's why it is so important. So what is the definition of spiritual hope? If we go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Maybe I want to read a couple of verses before that. I'll start with 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope. It says earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Sounds a little bit like what David said back in Psalms 119. In nothing related to my hope, I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness and always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Okay, where does the hope come from? What is the definition of hope? And I think right here is the very definition of hope. It says earnest expectation. Now, when we have a hope in a natural sense, and in the world we walk around in, you know, all day, you know, I'll be at work and I'll say, well, I hope we're going to solve that problem. Okay? And it may be in a meeting, and other people will say, well, we can try this and we can try that and we hope that'll work. All right? Or we can be out at a sports event and say, I hope my team that I'm rooting for wins the game. All right? Now, those hopes are, again, in the natural realm, okay? But we don't always have an earnest expectation that that hope is going to come to fruition, especially at a sports event, okay? So the definition of hope is something that you want to have happen, you want to occur, that for which you have an earnest expectation. You expect. And that's what a spiritual hope is. And what is the spiritual hope that we have based in? It's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of His second coming. That's where we are in our time. And that's where the hope is. And there is so much scripture to go through this. But when I was in the midst of the crisis, there was a moment when I would have been, think of the right words, trying to think of acceptable words, I would have welcomed the good Lord taking me home at that very moment. Okay? That's the level of despair. But the reason that that would have been a good thing had it happened, maybe not the right thing for the time, for the moment, but it would have been a good thing because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and because He's coming again and because we know that. And that hope is what sustains us. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'm going to say that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a hope chapter. Okay? It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the subject. But it's a hope chapter. Now that word hope is only mentioned one time in this chapter. In verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. All right? Meaning, we got a hope in Christ, the misery around us, the stuff of the world that makes us miserable. You know, it's the hope of Jesus Christ that matters. And where does that come from? The resurrection. So if we just read a little bit more in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's go down to verse 25. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Christ was the first fruit, all right? And it says afterward, they that are Christ at His coming, we follow Jesus Christ, all right? Then cometh the end, when He comes again, then cometh the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when we shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus Christ, through his resurrection, puts all these enemies away. The day is going to come that his children, and we hope that we are amongst his children, and we have evidence of that, we'll talk about. But the time's going to come, we're going to see that evil thrown into the lake of fire. We have to put up with it here every day. And we have to put up with it in continually worsening kinds of situations. But because of his resurrection and his second coming, we have a hope that cannot be taken away from us. But we need to be reminded of it. And we need the Holy Ghost to remind us of it. And we need to read the Word and be reminded of it. And we need to hear it preached and be reminded of it. Because I'm saying repetition is necessary in the human existence. And we have to be reminded over and over and over again. And that's what the scriptures do. Now, if we go on to verse 50, I want to read a little bit of this. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This isn't, if you do this, that, or the other, you shall be changed. It is, you shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. It's talking about our bodies. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What a great hope that is. What a great hope that is. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It doesn't win. It doesn't win. And the hope that we have that has been given to us, that earnest expectation that we received with the Holy Ghost, that is what we have to constantly lean on to understand when we're in these dark places, when the storm is passing by. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection and his second coming. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I mean, whatever you're doing and you're doing it in the Lord, that effort is not in vain. It's not earning you eternal life, but it's what you should be doing to demonstrate that you love what God has done for you and what that hope tells you. And what that hope makes very clear, that earnest expectation is defined in Philippians. I want to go over to 1 John chapter 3, pick up three scriptures there, or three verses. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, I want 1, 2, and 3. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, why are we called the sons of God? Because he chose us. All right? He chose us before the foundation of the world. And we don't deserve to be chosen. It's a mystery why he did. But we need to be thankful for it. And it's our understanding of this that gives us the hope. Hope isn't this kind of hope isn't just like, you know, maybe this is going to happen, maybe that's not going to happen. That's not this kind of hope. This is the ultimate hope. This is hope that is an earnest expectation that we understand, that He's given us. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Because we're in Christ Jesus, they didn't like Him, the world doesn't like us. Try to stand on the street corner and read scripture out of the Bible and see how well you're received by the world around you. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. See, it's not visible to us yet what we shall be. But we know, in spite of not being able to see it, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. This is at the second coming. For we shall see Him as He is, as the Son of God. And every man that hath this hope in Him, if you got this hope in you, this spiritual hope, this earnest expectation, purifieth himself even as He is pure. Now I want to underline that further by going to 1 John chapter 5, so a couple of pages over, and we're going to go to verse, we're going to go to verse 12, but I'm going to start in verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which we know is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, greater than anything from the witness of men. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. If you believe on God, that is the evidence that you are one of His children. All right? There's no work for us to do here except to honor God. There's no work for us to become a son of God, a child of God. What a beautiful, beautiful doctrine that is. Because if it's left up to us, I got no faith if it was left up to me. I can't go through one day without, you know, doing something wrong, having a wrong thought. It's just not possible for us to be good. Where was I? If we receive, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He had testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave His Son. All right? Woe is to them that do not believe. And this is the record that He was talking about, that God hath given to us. This is the record. Eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Eternal life is in His Son. His resurrection and His second coming, the sources of our hope, our earnest expectation. Verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I don't know how you cannot understand what that says. It was all done by God. The Father, the Son, and what He did, and the Holy Ghost, and what the Son did in His resurrection and the future second coming, for which our hope is based on all of this. Got to go to John chapter 6 to again underscore this even further. Starting in verse 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Again, our earnest expectation, our hope, our earnest expectation. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me. This is the Father's will. This is the home run verse right here. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And what is that last day? His second coming. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is the hope that when I was in the midst of my crises, that I never lost sight of, but I didn't lose sight of it only because God has put that in my heart. And that sustained me through such a difficult period of time, even though in one case it was very short and in another case much longer. So I want to go back to Romans chapter 8, and I want to go up a little earlier than where I was before and start here, and I'm getting to a close here shortly. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Is that not a great hope that we all have? Earnest expectations that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy? Do we have to remember that? Yes, because sometimes the sufferings that we deal with here are very difficult. I can't even imagine what it must be like for the people over that have been in this war with the Gaza, with Hamas and the captives, and how some of them have certainly died and others don't know what the status of their loved ones are. And yet that difficulty, that struggle is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's coming. And that's the hope that we have to hold on to. For the earnest expectation, there it is again, of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, who's the creature here? This creature is not dogs and cats and, animals running around. This creature is the human being with the Holy Ghost inside. It's a born again Christian person that came from God and God only, not from anything we did. And this creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's waiting for that. Earnest expectation. It's his earnest expectation. Hope, the definition of spiritual hope. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Now, what does that mean, subject to vanity? It means that we were depraved. That's all that means, is that when we were born, we were depraved, man in depravity. Couldn't do anything for himself eternally or spiritually. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. It came from God Almighty. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. The creature, this creature that's got two natures in it. The creature that has two natures, the flesh and the spirit. Spirit came from God. It's got two natures. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, this body, the sin that we are caught up in, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Oh, creation. I was groaning the other night. I was groaning back in September. The whole The whole world is groaning. Because of why? Because of man's sin that man brought into this world. And we can't fix it no matter what we do. And I don't care who's president and I don't care who's in Congress. It's not going to get fixed. We may have little respites, and if we do, it'll be more than likely because the people turn to God and pray for His blessings, and He will help us. But in light of that, and we don't see very much of that today, it just groans worse and worse and worse. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we have the struggles, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, as I described in my own personal experiences, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. All right? For we are saved by hope, earnest expectation. We're saved right now in this world by hope, our earnest expectation. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? If we saw it, we don't have to hope for it because it's real, it's there, we see it. But we have to hope for it. It's our earnest expectation because we can't see it. But if we hope for that we see not, if we hope for that we don't see, then do we with patience wait for it. And then we get to verse 26, which was the one my father pointed me to. And I'll read it quickly. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities right here and now. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I want to close by going to a verse everybody here knows. We have this verse on a piece of artwork in our guest bathroom that Sister Tara here gave to Cindy many years ago. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now notice, hoped for, we could substitute. Now faith is a substance of things for which we have an earnest expectation, like we just talked about, the evidence of things not seen. So let's describe this verse very briefly. This is the last verse I'm going to speak to in a natural terms to help bring understanding, because this is a verse that I read over and over and over, and I believe it, but sometimes I have trouble getting my mind around what it's saying. So it says, now faith is the substance. So it's a substance. Faith is a substance of what? Of things hoped for. So let's say that you are a college baseball player, and you have great baseball skills. Okay? And you're hoping to be drafted into the Major League Baseball. Okay? Your faith or your confidence, this is natural, I'm using this to illustrate, is the substance, your confidence in obtaining the substance of what you're hoping for, Major League Baseball, is based on what? It's based on some evidence. And what would be the evidence in that case is that you've demonstrated over your 4-year time in college that you are an excellent baseball player. And so you have a very high confidence because of that evidence that you see in order to achieve that which you hope for, all right, to be drafted into Major League Baseball. Now you don't know that's going to happen. You don't know it, but you have a lot of confidence in it because of the evidence. Now let's let's look at the spiritual side of this. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? We hope, we're looking forward to the earnest expectation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We know he's been resurrected because his word tells us that. And we know that. And that gives us evidence, frankly, evidence we don't see except in word, okay, that his second coming is going to occur. The substance of things hoped for. It's the very substance of that earnest expectation that we're looking to. That is substance. The end times when we get to go be with Jesus Christ and we get to go live in heaven and we get out of this sin corrupt world. That's an earnest expectation. That's what we hope for. If we just simply had faith without the hope, what does that mean? We would have faith that Jesus Christ is coming. But how do we know that we're the ones that are going to get drafted into the major leagues? It's the evidence that tells us that. And what is that evidence? The evidence of the Holy Spirit in your heart and the way that impacts everything that you do, which is why we need to work doubly hard to walk in a way that would be pleasing to him. That is our whole and entire duty on this earth in the midst of all struggles. Thank you very much for your attention. I hope you found this to be worthwhile.